I'm a marked man. In fact, every one of us is marked. There isn't a person I know with even the best of intentions that isn't going to get someone upset about something they do or say, especially if a lot of people are watching you. So you see, we are destined to being and living in hot water with someone at one time or another. It's basically like being a young child and trying to help your mom by drying the evening dishes and using a towel that your mom just used to wipe the floor. But, you know, unlike upsetting your mom, when we upset others, our moms behave differently. What happens is when we upset others, it puts us in line for retribution or vengeance from the other person. So you see, we are marked for revenge. Or maybe it's our practice to mark others for their indiscretions or sins against us. So do we practice tit for tat? Or I don't get mad, I get even. Principle of revenge. Or do we use what God describes in the Bible of turning your other cheek and loving your neighbor as yourself? So how do we practice revenge? A short summary of my message today is covered with two very simple scriptures. The first one would be Romans 12:9. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And the second verse is Deuteronomy 7:10. And God says, as Moses writes, "And repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face." So we're going to talk about what God teaches us about revenge. Several different words in the Bible that has been translated revenge. Several in the Hebrew and several in the Greek. Some of them are used more often than others. But basically, the idea of vengeance or revenge that the Bible is trying to get across is that there's vengeance, revenge, to avenge, punishment. It's a just payment. It's to be done carefully and with good timing, and it involves God's anger. So let's look into revenge from God's point of view first, and then we might be able to understand about revenge and how to help us replace and cope with revenge in the proper method. Number one, God gives us appropriate instructions in matters that properly require vengeance to mete out justice. In this particular case, turn to Genesis 9. In Genesis 9, God gives Noah and his family instructions on how to deal with murder. Genesis 9, verse 5, and he says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheds man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." According to the Brown Driver Briggs definition, for the word used for require, it means to resort, to seek with care, to inquire, to require. So you see, in here in Genesis 9:5, where it says, "The blood of your lives will I require," the person, the people that are going to bring the requirement of life against that person, to take that person's life, they're not just supposed to whimsically do something. They're supposed to make seek with care, inquire, to resort. Now, just so you understand how important the word that God uses in this particular place, this word is used in Deuteronomy 4:29, where God says to seek him. It's the second seek in this verse. Listen to this. But if from here you seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. If you seek, that's the same word for require, him with all your heart and with all your soul. So it's not something that we do just carelessly. It's something that we need to do with careful thought. Now, God wants proper justice administered when revenge or recompense is undertaken by us, so that there is a proper and righteous justice. And God talks about justice throughout his Bible, and the church should practice proper justice. God wants us to inquire of him and make careful seeking of him and how he does things. Now, another part of this verse section is dealing with the accidental killing or murder in general. See, there are three chapters that I'm not going to read, but I'm going to refer you to look at. There's Numbers 35, there's Deuteronomy 19, and there's Joshua 20. Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 19, and Joshua 20. All of these deal with the city of refuge and the avenger of blood, and the proper administration of recompense for the murder and accidental killing. Now, what I found interesting is the Hebrew word for avenger in dealing with the avenger of blood has the meaning of to redeem, act as a kinsman, redeemer, avenge, revenge, and ransom. And God gives specific instructions in how to deal and what in the cities and how to perform proper justice when these things occur. Number two is God will make the arrangements for vengeance. You see, vengeance belongs to God. So what you can do is, let's start in Deuteronomy 32:35. There are several scriptures that back up this point. Deuteronomy 32:35. To me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. God is saying that he brings upon vengeance and recompense. In Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, show yourself. Here, David is writing and mentions it twice that vengeance belongs to God. Also in Hebrews 10, verse 30, For we know him that has said, Vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense. Here Paul is quoting from the Old Testament, says the Lord, And again the Lord shall judge his people. Are you beginning to see how black and white God makes this? 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 48 and 49. 2 Samuel 22, verse 48 and 49. It says, It is God that avenges me and brings down the people under me. And that brings me forth from mine enemies. You who have lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me, you have delivered me from the violent man. God is plain and specific here as to what his job is in relation to vengeance. Unfortunately, we all like to think, really, does God mean this? Well, let's read a little more, because now we're going into point three. Point three, God specifically tells us not to avenge ourselves. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And number two, where I said God will make the arrangements of vengeance, where vengeance belongs to God, God specifically says it's for him. In order to make his case even more poignant, number three, he tells us not to avenge ourselves and that he's going to take care of it. So he specifically tells us, don't get involved with it. Proverbs 20:22. Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save you. Proverbs 24:29. Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. That's the tit for tat approach. If you go against what that says. And being human, we all want to strike out against somebody that makes us feel uncomfortable. But again, that's not what God says to do. God says, leave vengeance alone. Romans 12:17. I'm trying to drive the point in because I'm thick-headed and we always like to make excuses. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Verse 18. As much as it is possible, live in peace with everyone. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. The wrath of God, that is. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So what we've gone through is that the Old Testament and the New Testament agree with each other. They don't seem to say different things. The New Testament quotes from the Old Testament. So the Bible is consistent. Also, if you want to remember what I said earlier, that mark is on all of us because we're bound to make somebody want to take action against us. So do we take action against somebody else? Do we revenge? Now stop and ponder the statements that God has just made, that I've just read. And then think about our actions in the multiple ways that these verses can be applied in our lives. I think we will find that we have a lot of changing to do in one way or another. Are we allowing Christ to live in us? You know, for us to believe and to take action that God will do the vengeance and that we're not to take part in it ourselves has to do with trust, trust in God. Do we trust that God will make things right? Now, it may not be how we view it and what we think it is, but do we believe that God is going to make things right? Matthew 5:21. It says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time that you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus goes on to explain here on the sermon how murder and hating and anger toward your brother can bring eternal death. Are we holding on to that mark against other people? A mark that we are susceptible ourselves of bringing on ourselves and causing others to want marks against us. And again, even if they do hold marks against us, God says, vengeance is his. So in other words, are we being hypocrites? Are we living the type of life that we're supposed to be living? Matthew 5:38, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, But whoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if the man sue you at law, takes away your coat, let him have it, and your cloak also. And whoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. And on it goes. And then finally, he winds up in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which only love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same thing? So Jesus wants us to be an active participant in dealing with problems, our problems. Are we backing away from them? Do we think the sun shines on us while it rains on our enemies? God is good. God makes it rain and shine on all of us. Number four, God uses his vengeance to judge his people. Judgment is going to be brought on the house of Israel as well as on the church. Deuteronomy 32, starting in verse 35, if you remember, we read this earlier, says, to me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. God has a timing that he has. He knows when it's time to take vengeance on people, on society, on countries. In this particular case, this verse is talking about Israel, on them turning away from God. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Are we trusting in something else? And that's why we try to bring vengeance rather than trusting in God? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be of your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of mine hand. So you see, God is active and he does work on recompense and vengeance. For I lift my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Now he's not talking of rewarding in a positive sense here. He's talking of rewarding them with eternal death. Or taking their lives. If God judges his people, why would he want us to judge each other? Isn't this confusion? Also, if you were going to make decisions and judgments of matters, you know, at work that your boss had responsibility for, wouldn't you be in trouble? Well, that's what God is telling us. When it comes to vengeance, he says, don't be a part of it. It's mine. I'll take care of it in my time. Do you believe or do we believe what God is telling us? Do we believe and have trust that God will judge? Romans 14:4 says, who are you that judges another man's servant? Because we're all God's servant. To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. God is our judge. God brings the vengeance. Let's take a quick look at Romans 3. Let's go to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 5. It says, "But if our righteousness commended the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? And I speak as a man." I like another translation a little bit better than the King James. The King James is kind of old speak in this particular translation. It says, "But if our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Surely God, the one inflicting wrath, is not unrighteous, is he?" And then Paul says, "I speak as a man." You see, Paul makes a rhetorical remarks in this verse to make us think and understand that God is righteous in what he does, in whatever he does. When vengeance is taken, he is angry, and he has good reason for being angry. Not like our anger. Number 5, God uses vengeance to judge the nations. God doesn't just judge us, God uses vengeance to judge the nations. Isaiah 47:1. "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Your nakedness will be uncovered. Yes, your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet you as a man. And as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." So God is judging other nations. Isaiah 63:1. He judges another nation. "Who is this that comes from Edom and dyes garments with Bozrah? This is the glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore are your red and your apparel and your garments like him that treads in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none for me, and I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of the redeemed is come." Do we trust God that these days will come? Number 6 is God uses vengeance to redeem and save his people. He uses vengeance to bring in the kingdom of God, to establish his kingdom. Isaiah 59:16. And he says, "And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head." I guess we can see Paul was quoting this in Ephesians 6. "And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense." And on it goes. Isaiah 61:1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Do we also look forward to God's vengeance? when these things happen, when the earth finally gets placed into his control and things get turned over to him. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Verse 8. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those that refuse to understand God, he takes vengeance on them. He also tells us in his vengeance at this time, he says in Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away therefore your confidence, your trust in God, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Now, how can we learn to deal with revenge the way that God wants us to? In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're supposed to, number two, walk in the Spirit. As it says in Galatians 5:16 and then in Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We can also use 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about the love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15, it uses it as charity. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Verse 4, I'll read. Charity suffers long, love suffers long, and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, and is not puffed up. Does that sound like what God was telling us about vengeance? He says not to partake in vengeance. Normally we partake in vengeance because we're upset and we feel like we have to strike back. Number four, take into account that you are human and, as I said earlier, markable. So don't be a hypocrite. Because we make the same mistakes that we get mad at other people for. Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with that judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold you the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considers not the beam, the large piece of wood that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? Pretty hard words here. He says, you hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. So maybe God's telling us to stay away from vengeance because we cause the same problems. So in conclusion, as I mentioned earlier, the summary for today's message can be found in two scriptures, Romans 12:19 and Deuteronomy 7:10. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. From the points that were given, we can see that God has the responsibility of taking vengeance. He will do it in his time with his people and other nations. Each of us will be dealt the appropriate recompense, and it will be given to us by God. Whether good or bad, it will be done such that the judgment will be delivered personally to the individual and be righteous. Truth and justice will be meted out to all of us. Vengeance belongs to God.